Strange Affair by Peter Robinson. Read by Neil Pearson. Was she being followed? It was hard to tell at that time of night on the motorway. She was beyond Newport Pagnell now, but there was still plenty of traffic. Nervously, she checked her rearview mirror. The car was still behind her. So she pulled over to the near side lane, slowed down, and then stopped worrying. The car, a dark Mondeo, overtook her. One person in the front, another in the back. Probably a private hire car, she guessed. Some rich git being ferried to a nightclub, most likely. A little further up the motorway, she overtook the Mondeo and didn't give it a second glance. When she got to Watford Gap Services, she felt hungry. She still had a long way to go, so decided to stop. She didn't even notice the Mondeo pull in two cars behind her. In the cafe, she bought a ham and tomato sandwich and sat alone, washing it down with a Diet Coke. At the table opposite, pretending to read his newspaper, a man with dandruff on the collar of his suit jacket ogled her over the top of his glasses. Just a perv, she decided. The world seemed full of them. She could hardly walk down the street without some sad pillock eyeing her up. She finished the sandwich and walked back to her car. The tank was only a quarter full, so she filled up at the petrol station, using her credit card at the pump. Then the perv from the cafe pulled up at the pump opposite and stared at her as he put the nozzle in the tank. But she ignored him. Tank full, she turned down the slip road. The clock on the dashboard read 12:35 a.m. Only 2 or 3 hours to go, then she would be safe. Penny Cartwright was singing Richard Thompson's Strange Affair when Banks walked into the Dog and Gun, her low, husky voice milking the song's stark melancholy for all it was worth. Penny Cartwright. He hadn't seen her in 10 years, though he'd thought of her often. And the years had been kind. Her figure still looked good. The long raven's wing hair looked as glossy as ever in the stage lights, and the few threads of grey made her look even more attractive. There wasn't a seat left in the dim lounge, so when the song ended, Banks leaned against the bar, ordered a pint, then lit a cigarette. He wasn't happy with himself for having started smoking again after 6 months, but there it was. At the moment, it was a crutch, an old friend come back to visit during a time of need. The next round of applause marked the end of Penny's set, and she walked through the crowd, smiling and nodding hello, and stood at the bar. "Gin and tonic, please, Kath. Large one." "Excellent set," said Banks. "Thanks." She didn't turn. He could tell she thought he was simply another fan. "You don't remember me, do you?" Now she turned, and he saw recognition slowly dawn. She seemed embarrassed. "Oh, yes, it's Detective Chief Inspector Burke, isn't it?" "Banks, but Alan will do. It's been a long time." "Yes. I didn't know you were back in Helmthorpe." "Yes, in the old cottage." "What have you been up to?" "Long story." "Well, maybe you could tell me about it over dinner some evening." Penny frowned. "No, I can't do that."
"Why not? It's only dinner."
"I just can't, that's all." As she spoke, she was backing away from him. "How can you even ask me?" She shook her head and melted back into the crowd. And Banks felt perplexed. He wasn't that repulsive. What the hell was wrong with her? He gulped down the rest of his pint and headed for the door. The night sky was moonless but filled with stars, and Helmthorpe High Street deserted. He walked through the graveyard to the footpath that would take him to what passed for home these days. The air smelled of manure and warm hay, and to his right he could hear Gratley Beck roaring below him. The narrow path was unlit, but he knew every inch by heart.